Maybe you've been through some of these things you can share with us.
Just wanted to say something about the 24/7 or forever, the crying, holy, holy, holy. For the longest time, I could not figure out how a person could one pray without ceasing. I just couldn't figure out how a person could do that. All pray without ceasing.
Connie, can you make it a little bit louder?
Oh, sorry, I forget. I was talking about holy, holy, 24/7 all the time. And I was saying for the longest time, I could not figure out how a person could pray without ceasing. How can a person do that when you have your daily tasks you need to do and all of that? But through the things that I've gone through, I have learned that it is possible. If it's in the word, it is possible. And so the more, I guess you'd call them afflictions, the more I realized, yes, indeed, you can say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord all day long. And it's not because of, when I first became a Christian, could I ever figure this out? But the more you go through and the more a person learns who God is, that He is worthy of all our praise and honor and glory. He's worthy of it and He is holy. And I'm understanding. I don't have full understanding, but I am understanding how that is possible that we can do that. And praise God. I was going to ask you too, Mark. You said Isaiah 11 talks about, was it Isaiah 11 that talks about the seven spirits of God?
Yeah.
What?
Let me go there. I think it's 11. Yeah, it's verse 2. It says, now you count them. There are seven here. Okay. And the Spirit of the Lord, that's number one. Spirit of the Lord. Lord means lordship. Okay. He is the chief, he's the high. Shall rest upon him the spirit of wisdom, number two. Spirit of understanding, number three, the spirit of counsel, number four, and might, number five, spirit of knowledge, number six, and the fear of the Lord, number seven. I think that's the sevenfold spirit of the Lord. I think that's the seven lamps that we see in Revelation chapter four. Maybe you can find a better one. I'm open. Well, Connie, to pick up on your pray without ceasing, I can't speak for Rita, but I will just say that what we're going through in our bodies. And maybe I should speak for myself here more, is so aware of coming into this age that we're in. I'll be 84 here in a couple months. Body's starting to wear out. This part, that part, another little flaw. And you know, I have found myself doing a lot more praying than I used to pray. Seems 24/7, we come up against something. Oh, I need strength to do that. Oh, I need to watch myself here. I need to watch myself there. Yes, you're right. we're getting more and more into focus. And I think it's the Lord being good to us. In the end, when it's all over, when He shall appear, we're really going to be glad. We're going to look at these trials and temptations and things. We're going to look back and we're going to say, Lord, I thank you for putting me through that. Then I began to ask myself, how would Jesus have reacted in comparison to the way I reacted to that? So someone else. Someone help us out here.
Brother Mark?
Yes, Brother Titus.
Yes, looking
Yes.
at the cases where the demon possession, came upon humans. Do we say that the places or the place of the human where the demons lodge is the soul and not the spirit? Is the spirit of man also vulnerable for demons lodging, or is just the soul that is the habitation for these devils? Is it also possible for the spirit of man to be under such a invasion?
No, the spirit of man is incorruptible. It belongs, it is sent from God, all right? And that same spirit, no matter what the shape of the man is when he dies, that same spirit is going to go back to God. Ecclesiastes, to God who sent it. So the result of the demon activity is really in the soul. And of course, it's eventually manifest in the flesh. You know, if the man is addicted to alcohol, he's going to start, his flesh is going to start taking on the nature of alcohol. If he's addicted to porno type of lust, that's the way his body's going to express itself or herself, whatever. Yeah, the devil doesn't really want our body. He doesn't care about that, except he will eventually destroy it. He wants the man's soul. So you understand now that when we read the word that it says that Satan is sitting in the temple of God, proclaim that he's God. He's not looking to sit in that old stone building somewhere over in the Mediterranean. That isn't what he wants. He wants the human temple to sit and be the boss. Was there another part of your question, Brother Titus?
Yes, it's satisfactory. Thank you.
Okay.
Mark.
Brother Edie.
Hello, can you hear?
Yeah, we can hear you,
Yes.
Brother Edie.
You are mentioning that the devil does not really care about the body. I agree with that completely. His focus is on the soul. It's on the soul because that is the only source of energy that he has. The energy, the devil needs energy to run, and he has lost the energy coming from God. So there's energy coming from God, which he cannot get because he has rebelled against God. Now, there's energy also that we have in the natural. Energy comes from food. Now, when we look at, you know, the line, all food that we have comes from the energy of the sun, which is put there by God. So it's like God reduced the energy, if I can say that, reduces energy, the physical form called the sun. The sun is a physical entity, and the energy of the sun is trapped by the plants. The plants trap it. The energy is transmitted to the animals that eat it, and man gets the energy both from plants and other animals. So God made it available, possible that man can get energy from the natural creation. So man can get energy from the natural plants and animals, and can also get energy direct from God. So when the devil came tempting, and then tempting, the Lord said to the enemy, to the devil, Satan, that man does not live by bread alone. And I was talking about physical bread. So actually, man has the liberty to eat physical bread and get energy. That energy comes into his soul. So the thing that really rots is the soul. So you can get energy from the physical thing to energize your soul. You can get energy from the spiritual, from God, and energize your soul. But the devil doesn't have access to the physical, has no access to God. So he's helpless. He's in a fix. So what he does is that he now comes into the soul of the man and overshadows the soul, so that the energy that the man gets from God, he can tap it. It's like somebody hacks into your account, and you don't withdraw the money. So the devil, both from the body natural and from the spiritual, in the soul, he can harness it and he can feed on it. And that makes us weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. So the devil is interested in the soul, because that is the soul of man particularly, because that is where energy has been stored and he can get it from there.
Amen.
Amen. Like what I said, it's a trap for him. So as you understand these principles, we are learning, we can restrain him. If we refuse to give him that energy, then he is finished. Because like in the case you were mentioned, when he was cast out of the man, he said that you are going to torment me. Torment me, because once I leave the man, I'm no longer going to have any energy. I can't have from God. I can't have from the soul. I'm in torment. So torment, actually, the real problem of the devil is that he is not able to access the energy that is in the soul of man. And we must be walking, taking away sins and all that. But the things that the works of the flesh are the bugs that the enemy puts into our soul to draw the energy we have, are the works of the flesh. So once those things are there, he's able to tap the energy and make us weaker and weaker. Just to mention that, praise God. Amen, I'm done.
Thank you, Brother Edie. So he was a little hard to understand. It wasn't a good connection, but let me say a little bit of what I heard and what I agree with. Spirit beings have to have energy, okay? Maybe this explains why around the throne of God they are saying, holy, 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 glory, 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 because they are feeding angels. Angels have to come to the throne of God, and in praise is where they feed on the life of God. Now, demons and devils, fallen angels, they no longer have access to God. They've been cut off. They've been long ago, they were cast out of that realm of heaven. So the only place the devil can get any life is out of people. Now, a wicked old man that's just in the gutter and just dying of his sins, there's no life left in that man. Where the devil can really get life is if he can get to a Christian, if he can get to a son of God, a believer, and cause him to fall. Oh, then he gets a big, big meal of life, that he gets it from him. Amen? If he can come to you, a son of God, and cause you to blow up and have an angry fit and begin cursing and swearing and whatever, Satan's getting a big meal out of that. So we're going to prevent him from getting any food. And our part of this battle of Michael and the angels, our part here in the army on earth, is we're going to deprive him of any food. He's not going to get any more life out of my soul.
Amen.
Yeah, one other thing I wanted to say too is there's a difference between being possessed of a spirit and being oppressed. So just having an unclean spirit does not necessarily mean possessed, okay? If the unclean spirit possesses, he has complete control. To be oppressed, he doesn't have the complete control, but he has a lot of influence. You want to look at the, we've studied this before, look at the difference and the progression. There are steps of progression that the soul of a man goes through in order to come to full possession. Go and study the life of King Saul. A perfect picture of how a man begins to slide deeper and deeper. Oppression, obsession. He became obsessed with killing David. And finally, at the very end, he was possessed. He was possessed with the unclean spirit. There was nothing he could do about it anymore. And Samuel told him really what was going to happen to him at that last, shall we call it, seance, where he met Samuel. You're done, Saul. The devils are going to take you right down now. But again, the mercy of God. God had warned him time and time and time. God was more merciful to him than he was to anybody else, than Saul was to anybody else.
It goes in Genesis 3:14. It says, and the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And that's us. That's where he's getting his food. You're absolutely right.
We're the dust.
We're the dust, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not dirt. He's not out in the field plowing dirt. Not that kind of dust. So yeah, let's help make Satan excruciatingly hungry and in torment because he's not going to get anything from us.
And then the dust again, the dust is our carnality.
Yes, dust is our carnality.
That's the way it fits on. We are spiritual, we cut them off. But once you are carnal, plenty of food.
Yeah, so we're becoming more spiritual, which means we're becoming more like Christ. What did Jesus say? Satan cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. There's nothing he can hook onto. There's nothing he has to offer that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in any of his sin. I'm not interested in any of his alcohol, his drugs, his sex, whatever it is he has to offer. Jesus said, I'm not interested. Hopefully, this is the thing that happens in the course of our life as we go through life and become more mature. You look back at your life 10 years ago, or maybe let's go 20 years ago. What were the things that really had you interested? You know, you really wanted to pursue this, you wanted to pursue that. Well, here you are today. You know, you're really going gung-ho after that. It might not have been a sin, but it was just something you wanted to do. What about today? I'm not interested in that anymore. I just love that brother Mike Moses from Newcomb. You know, and he didn't know he was dying, but he called me up one day and he said, Brother Mark, I gave up the Lions Club. I'm not in that anymore. I said, oh, why'd you do that? He said, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Not interested anymore. He said, I gave up being a volunteer fireman. I said, why'd you do that? No, oh, not interested anymore. Has nothing to do with the kingdom. You know what? About a year later, the man got cancer. It took over him, and it killed him rather quickly. And I thought, praise God, Mike. You came into that where these carnal things, they weren't wicked, they weren't sins. They're just something that he had no more interest in. Well, thank you all for your attention. I'm going to turn the recording off.